Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Forgiving Yourself. We're going to talk about shame and not forgiving yourself. This is something I have struggled with ever since I got into this walk over 20 years ago. And it is something I know many of you also struggle with because I've received many emails over the years about this same thing. I have for years, since allowing the Lord to take me through the process of sanctification. And for those of you who don't know, sanctification is the process whereby God helps you get the sin out of your life as much as possible. He will basically say, I want you to stop doing that. He'll help you stop. You have to obey. And I stop anything I know I'm sinning in as soon as I know, for years now. And eventually you get to the point you don't have any known sin. That doesn't mean we don't sin, because I think we always sin through our thoughts and different things. But because none of us are going to be perfect until Jesus comes back and gets us and changes us. But I have for many years lived with great shame and regret over the way I lived my life before I was saved. My mother was an extremely virtuous woman, a lady, who taught me to be ladylike and to have very high morals, but somehow they didn't stick. I rebelled and I lived life on my own terms for many years until the Lord sent me a message in 1996 and I gave my life to Him. So often, and here I've done this a lot, but I've also done it a lot when I lived in Princeton. I've sat in my rocking chair praying and just looked back over the purposeless life that I led back then and felt just ashamed of the way that I acted, of the small value that I placed on myself and on my lack of morals. And the Lord has revealed to me the spiritual roots behind much of my behavior, and I wish that I could attribute it all to that, but I can't. I still made those choices myself. I chose every one of those sins. Anytime we live a life of sin, it's never anything that can be blamed on anyone else. There may have been outside influences like demonic forces and curses, but we still made the choices. There's that split second when you make the choice to do the sin, when you know not to, and you still do it. And I wondered so many times, what would my life have been like? And what could I have accomplished by now for the kingdom of God had I lived a better life? You know, had I been less selfish, had I lived like my mother raised me to live. And I know that God has brought good out of all those years of living in sin, because one of the days I was feeling so bad over it, He spoke to me because I was praying about it. I said, Lord, I wish that I had found you so many years ago. He had drawn me a couple of different times. And He said, it is because of all that sin that I am able to use you to the extent I do now. But I still feel ashamed that I acted like that. You know, I knew better. So I know that some of y'all have expressed some of the same concerns, and that many of you deal with this same issue of shame and not being able to forgive yourself. And part of it, too, is when we live like that, we're not as good of parents as we should have been either. So that's part of it. Shame serves no purpose in our lives except to make us feel bad. And only the devil would want to make us feel bad. So I want to talk to you about leaving the shame and the regret where they belong in the past, because I've gotten a leg up on this now. Have I completely conquered it? No, but I'm right on my way to completely conquering it, because I figured out how. Okay, so I realized one day when I was reading my Bible that the first thing the serpent, the devil, did in the Garden of Eden after he convinced Adam and Eve to sin was he brought shame. So let's start at Genesis 2:24 and 2:25. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So here we see that if a man and woman are married and doing as they should, and also notice here, it is the man who is supposed to leave his father and mother, not the woman. So if your families live in different parts of the country, sorry, fellas, but the Bible says it's you who's supposed to leave your family. And they are naked, and they were not ashamed. Okay? Now, here comes big mouth Satan, the serpent, always causing trouble. He shows up in Genesis 3. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Okay, here in Genesis 3:7 is where shame entered the world. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Here is the first sin, and the first thing that happened was they were ashamed, and the second thing that happened was it separated them from God. They ran from God's presence. When we sin, we don't want to go to God and face Him, do we? It still does that. Sin still puts a wall between you and the Lord. I don't care who you are, and I don't care what the sin is, it puts a wall up. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave to me of the tree, and I did eat. That verse 12 in Genesis 3 is where blame entered the world. So we got shame, then we got blame. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So she blamed the serpent. He blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the snake. So how did Adam and Eve not know they were naked before the serpent showed up? And why only after they sinned? Before the devil showed up causing trouble, their nakedness was in innocence, like a little baby's would be. So there was nothing to be ashamed of. So, I was contemplating my shortcomings in earlier years and how much better I should have done, and I happened to think, you know what? I want y'all to think about this now. When you think about the things that you are ashamed of in your past, I want you to take this process through yourself. I started thinking, okay, what was going on in my life then when I was doing the worst behavior? What was going on? I was struggling to even feed my two teenage children at the time, with no child support, no help. I had no help from my family. I had no help from my ex-husband. I had no help, okay? It was just me. In a little Dust Bowl town that was an oil field town, and there was no oil field going on. And what happens, that's like a resort when everybody goes away. There are no jobs. And what there are like waitress jobs. And that's what I was doing, was waitressing. I was trying to just keep my kids fed, keep a roof over us, and keep clothes on our backs. And we lived hand to mouth, okay? And what was really sad, y'all, is there was no hope of it getting any better. There were no jobs. There was no jobs coming in. We were at the end of the world in Western Oklahoma, what felt like the end of the world at the time. And, you know, everything was just hard. And I didn't know the Lord then. So I was struggling with everything because I didn't know Jesus. I did a lot of wrong. But maybe in some ways I was doing the best I could. How can we really do right when we don't know Him? Now I know I didn't do the very best I could, because if I'd done my very best, I wouldn't have done all that sin. That does not excuse my behavior back then. But it does help me understand it a little bit, because I remember that my thing was going out dancing. I loved two-stepping. It was relaxing to go out and dance for several hours. I just loved doing that. And it was when I got to let my hair down and be out from under the stress of working two jobs and trying to raise two teenagers with no help and not enough money. So I will always remember years later waking up one day. This was in 2003, I believe. It was late 2003. I woke up one day without any emotional pain. This was after I'd gotten saved. I'd been saved for years when this happened. And I realized then, that morning, I realized how very badly I had hurt my entire life up until that point. But I had never known it because I'd never known anything else. If you set somebody down in hot water and they're uncomfortable, but they spend their whole life in hot water, they're never going to know until they come out of the hot water how much pain they had been in, because they have no point of reference. I had never felt peace before. And this went on for 3 days. Somebody somewhere was praying for me. Some intercessor, somebody prayed for me. Because for 3 days, I didn't have that emotional pain and I had peace. And it was the neatest thing ever. I still remember it because it was so amazing to me. I thought everybody was in pain all the time like I was, because I didn't know anything else. And I probably, had 100 demons on me at the time before I got saved. So I walked in a lot of heaviness, y'all, and a lot of anguish and just a lot of grief. And I'm guessing that you probably did too before you were saved. So I didn't do great before I got saved. And I didn't always do great after I got saved either. Because you know what? We're human. We get tempted and we don't always say no to temptation. And when I first got saved, I didn't say no all the time. I said no to some things and I said yes to some things for a while because I did not understand how to crucify the sin. It took me years to figure that out. But here's the deal. I look back at my past and I would love to hit the rewind button and go back to then and know what I know now, because let me tell you what, I could live a whole different life. Maybe we had to do that in heaven and we don't know. Wouldn't that be fun? Go back and just live your whole life over with the knowledge and the spiritual wisdom that you have now. That would be cool, wouldn't it? But one thing is for sure. We cannot change our past. Okay? Down here, we don't get retakes. We wish we did, but we don't. So there is nothing to do but learn whatever we can from whatever is back behind us and keep moving forward. Maybe God will use it to help someone else. Our future will be better than our past ever was, and our eternity will be better even than that. So I want to encourage you today to leave whatever shame and regret you have behind you. I want to encourage you to run to the Lord, not from Him, if you sin. He wants to help you out of that sin and into a life more glorious than anything you could ever have imagined for yourself. He can make all your dreams come true, and He has never forgotten a single prayer you have prayed, but you must say yes to Him to get what He has for you, and you must keep saying yes every time He is leading you. So I want to explain to y'all, in closing, how I rebuke Satan when he starts bringing the regrets at me now. Let's say that he just brought up my past me. Let's say I'm sitting in my prayer chair and I'm praying and I'm just having a conversation with God, and all of a sudden Satan throws in my face what I did years ago. Here's my answer now. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. There is now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know what? You may remember my sin, but God don't remember my sin. That sin don't even exist because it has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb of God. You're a loser. Get lost. Bye. In the name of Jesus. So, I suggest you do the same thing. And pretty soon, he don't like to be told that, so pretty soon he'll just stop bringing up your past, okay? And you can leave all that shame and all that regret behind you and just look forward to the bright future that God has for you as a child of God. Jesus bless you. I hope y'all have a fantastic week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where all of a sudden it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are times of great uncertainty and change. They are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many of these wilderness experiences in my own life, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led into the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving your provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com in print, Kindle, and new audiobook versions. The Wilderness Companion. Don't go into the desert without it. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com, in print and Kindle. Loosed from Chains of Darkness, and be free. Millions of Christians are trapped in abusive situations today, living in fear or living a life of failure. 1 in 4 women in America will experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. Men are victims of nearly 3 million assaults in the U.S. Did you know if you are under the curse of abuse, abuse will always be part of your life unless you break the curse? Find out how to get free of the curse of abuse. Get the book, Escaping the Curse of Abuse. Available on Amazon.com. Escaping the Curse of Abuse. And be free. Isn't it time?